Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
David Rockefeller published his third autobiography 2 years ago. And in there he says, we're setting up world government. There are those that accuse me of wanting to get rid of the United States, and I'm guilty as charged. We are going to dismantle the U.S. And the open borders, the illegal aliens, already the majority in almost every major U.S. city, 60%+ in New York, have all openly been taught by the Ford and Carnegie Foundations that this is Mexico. And Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is doing the exact same stuff, using their billions of dollars now tax-free to run private businesses for profit, buying up a handful of independent newspapers that were left in this country. Like the San Jose Mercury News and the Denver Post and the Minnesota Pioneer Press, they're buying them all up, and it'll be his propaganda and his... Bill Gates is now trying to take over U.S. education. It just goes on and on and on. Again, Carnegie, Ford, Bill and Melinda Gates, LePew Charitable Trust, Annenberg, CPV, all of these are set up. Listen, we got the Frank Church committees, we got other committees back in the 60s and 70s that got the documents on the tax-free foundations. I've interviewed Anthony Sutton and others before he died, and he worked with these people. They sit around board tables openly talking about how to take over the economy, how to take over our society, how to dumb you down. They talk about how to keep engineering wars to consolidate our economy through their hands. I mean, these are cold-blooded people. That's why they're in control. That's why they own everything. And it's time to stop being so naive. Look, most normal people can become happy. They can become wealthy. But you never get into elite positions without being truly ruthless, because a normal person won't cut throats and stab backs and do all the bad things it takes to compete with all the other scallywags that are in power. There are a lot of people, you know, who make 10, 20 million, even $1 billion, but then they basically stop there because they, you know, had a good idea, were working hard, they get fat and happy and, you know, move on in life. Not with the elite, folks. They always want more, 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 more. I know a lot of wealthy people who aren't evil, who just own businesses and live their lives out. And they're the first to tell you, hey, you know, Alex, I might be worth a couple $100 million. Talking about one of my friends hypothetically here. But listen, I'm not in the elite. I'm not anywhere near the elite. The elite own the banks. The elite print the money. The elite found, you know, their great-great-great-great-grandfathers founded the universities we attend. They are institutionalized. But you go talk to some blue-collar worker, he thinks somebody's rich who makes $100,000 a year. So some middle-class worker who makes $100,000 a year, they think somebody who's a millionaire is rich. A millionaire thinks somebody who's worth $50 million is rich. But somebody who's worth $50 million and who's in business knows they're not even lower middle class. And so we have tax-free foundations now buying up the newspapers, buying up the TV stations, buying up the military stocks, buying up the education companies, and they're profit-driven, they're not free market, and none of us can compete with them. I mean, not only do the big private central banks print the money now, now their spinoff foundations are tax-free. And let me just give you a newsflash. Your free market is in the way. My free market's in the way. You see, it isn't about the free market anymore, folks. This is about consolidation. You know what privatization is? Privatization is these robber barons having the government agents they put in office, they financed, hand over what's left of the infrastructure that they don't already own to them. Big corporations have made the government king so that the king, the government, can license them to run monopolies. We're back to feudalism. We might as well have a king. It'd be better than this. This is sick. All right, I'm sorry. I'm out of control. Our guest is with us, former British ambassador. We'll be talking to him on the other side of this quick break.
It's here.
After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today on Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
I used to be ashamed of my toenails. I thought I was destined to wear tennis shoes through the heat of the summer and hide my toes at the beach. And then my podiatrist told me about Non-X Nail Gel. It tackles unsightly nails by clearing out the cause of the problem, yellowing keratin debris buildup. With regular use, Non-X Gel breaks down and removes the debris, so toenails look clear. This summer, I'm wearing open-toed sandals again, thanks to a topical natural gel called Non-X. If your toenails are embarrassing, I recommend Non-X Nail Gel. It's at your pharmacy or a mass retailer in the foot care section.
Looking for profit? Looking for safety and security? The $10 Olympic commemorative gold coin offers both. This low-mintage collector coin, with a total series mintage under $600,000, has sold at four times its current price. Falling dollar values and inflation make this likely to happen again. Secure your position today. Call Midas Resources at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back, my friends. Thank you for joining us. We're live. It is Monday, the 21st day of August, 2006. We'll have open phones in the third hour. We've got another guest joining us in studio then, but we'll just be talking about the American Union and the Animal ID Act, just layer upon layer of tyranny coming down on us right now, all written by the big corporations to knock out any competition. And again, that's publicly available information. But shifting gears, former British ambassador says terror alerts are propaganda. That was our headline. His stories were picked up by several big British papers. The former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, Craig Murray, says the alleged transatlantic liquid bomb plot is stage-managed propaganda on behalf of Bush and Blair, who yearn for a, quote, new 9/11 to absolve them of domestic political trouble. He's also an author. A new book just came out about the torture going on in Uzbekistan, where the U.S. and British governments have a real-life Kim Jong-il type in control who openly boils people alive. I mean, a good old-fashioned Vlad the Impaler type. And I was just talking to Mr. Murray during the break when we first got him on. He said that his book is now being confiscated at the British airport. I have experienced things like this flying into Canada. You know, why do I have this book with me? Why do I have a news article in my bag? Why, people that read news articles of major newspapers are bad. The police are being trained to be secret police. Do you understand this, ladies and gentlemen? We're in a lot of trouble. We're becoming Uzbekistan. Ambassador Murray, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you woke up to what's going on, and let's get into government-sponsored terror. Let's get into false flag events. Let's get into busting patsies and entrapment and these different staged operations.
Yeah. Well, if I start off with myself, I'd been a career diplomat for 21 years, and Uzbekistan was my first posting as ambassador. I started at the bottom and worked my way up the service till I became an ambassador. I went out there in summer of 2002 and discovered one of the worst dictatorships in the world. It really is. It's like North Korea. It's like Burma. It's like Zimbabwe, worse than Zimbabwe. And as you say, dissidents are quite literally boiled to death in a couple of occasions. Torture's carried out on an industrial scale. That's how they keep the people down through fear. And thousands of people are tortured every year. And I'm talking about rape with open bottles. I'm talking about rape of children in front of their parents. I'm talking about pulling out of fingernails. I'm not talking...
Oh, you're talking about the stuff Alberto Gonzalez has advocated in memos, raping children in front of parents, yes.
Yeah, no, sadly the West's letting its standards slip in torture. And
maybe Bush is allowed to order children to be raped. Maybe that's Christian.
Well, one thing which, was obviously deeply distressing to me, was that I discovered that the CIA was getting intelligence from the Uzbek torture chambers. And that this was being passed off as intelligence in the war on terror, that it was saying that Uzbek opposition people were all members of Al-Qaeda. In many cases, the CIA was saying they'd met Bin Laden personally. And I knew this was rubbish. In many instances, there were CIA reports, which we knew for certain, as the British Embassy, just weren't true. There were talk of training camps in places where we knew there physically wasn't anything. There was one Uzbek dissident who was named as a member of Al-Qaeda, and I actually knew the guy, and he was a Jehovah's Witness. They're not really Jehovah's Witnesses in Al-Qaeda. I became very, very concerned, and I was complaining to my own government that the CIA was getting this complete rubbish intelligence, was giving it credence, and it came from torture. And we raised it with the American Embassy as well. No one ever said to me, you're wrong. Nobody ever said it doesn't come from torture. The US Embassy acknowledged it came from torture. I was called back to a meeting in London, and at that meeting I was told that a policy decision had been taken in the UK and US, and the UK and US shared all their intelligence under the intelligence sharing agreement, that a policy decision had been taken in both the UK and the US that in the war on terror we would use intelligence gained through torture. And also I was told that was perfectly legal, provided, this is the British government's viewpoint, provided we didn't do the torturing ourselves. If the Uzbeks tortured people and handed us the intelligence, then that was okay.
And that's important because we now know that at over 15 sites from Egypt in the Middle East and Jordan to areas in Eastern Europe, old gulags have been fired back up and are commanded by CIA and British MI6, but it is Eastern European torturers that are raping the children and raping people with bottles and electrodes and the rest of it.
That's right. And that's the Council of Europe report, which was done by Dick Marty. And there's been a lot of attempts to rubbish Dick Marty, but he's not only a respected Swedish senator, he's a respected Swedish judge of long standing and a judge who has presided in terrorist trials and handed down long sentences to terrorists, so he knows what he's talking about. He did the report for the Council of Europe on extraordinary rendition. He set all this out, and he included Uzbekistan as one of the places where the CIA takes people for extraordinary rendition. I think that's fairly well.
Now, Ambassador, we know this is still ongoing. We're talking to the former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, one of the worst sites of human rights abuses in the world, and he broke it and try to stop it valiantly. That from the intelligence you've got, the sources you still have in government, we know this is still going on, I've read, but is it better than it was or is it worse than it was?
Do you mean the extraordinary rendition program and use of torture?
Yeah, I mean torture from, say, Jordan to Uzbekistan.
I mean, that's really not changed. The only thing that a few things have changed, I mean, they're being very careful, for example, because it caused such a fuss in Europe, they're being very careful not to touch down planes in European countries that might make trouble. So they've had to do some changes to their methodology.
Now, this must be big.
The extraordinary rendition program of taking people abroad in order for them to be tortured, that hasn't changed at all.
Well, I mean, this must be a huge operation if the government ran out of aircraft and was renting the Red Sox plane to fly Americans out. I mean, any idea on how many people have been secretly grabbed out of Europe, out of Italy, out of the U.S.?
It's, frankly, it's very, very difficult to know numbers. We're talking, I think we're probably talking in the low hundreds, probably not many more than that. But nobody knows is the real answer to that question. And there are an extraordinary number of people.
Well, we know the CIA is in trouble. We know the CIA ambassador is in trouble in Italy for grabbing a bunch of people illegally to go take them to torture.
Yes, that's right. In Italy, at least one person was simply kidnapped off the streets. Same thing also happened in Germany. In Sweden, the Swedish authorities handed people over at the airport completely illegally, and there's nothing in Swedish law allows them to do that, to the CIA, but people were then banned and forcibly drugged and bundled on an airplane. There's a lot of illegal activity behind it. I mean, the German case is interesting. The poor man disappeared off the street and didn't reappear for another 2 years, and his family had no idea what had happened to him. They had no idea where he went. They didn't know the Americans had got him. They thought he deserted his family and absconded. They were desperate, you know. He turned out to be completely innocent. It was a case of mistaken identity. It took them 2 years to work that out after he'd been held in a facility in Macedonia and latterly in Guantanamo Bay.
Amazing. Shifting gears now, Mr. Murray, for those that don't know about the whole soap opera that you were involved in, you come back to England, they say, well, this is our policy, we let them torture for us. What then happened after that? Because this leads us into the latest terror alerts.
Yeah, well, after that, I was trying to persuade them to change their mind. And there were things I didn't know at the time that I subsequently discovered. What I couldn't get my head around at the time is why the CIA and the American and British governments wanted this intelligence when they knew it wasn't true. And I was saying, look, you know, you've got all this intelligence about Al-Qaeda camps. Now, physically, they don't exist. You know, we've been to the spot. There is nothing there. And yet they wanted the intelligence. They said it helped them. They said it was operationally useful to them. But it was untrue.
Well, it's useful so we can have...
I worked out.
Well, sure, it's useful so we can have, dun-dun-dun, Fox News alert. Intelligence out of Uzbekistan says that Ahmed Rabubu was about to blow up the Sears Tower. We're taking all of your rights. And, of course, Ahmed Rabubu doesn't even...
Anything was welcome to them, which exaggerated the threat of Al-Qaeda. But there's more to that. One of the reasons they wanted that as well was it justified all the support the American taxpayer was giving to the Karimov regime. And to give an example, in 2002 alone, American taxpayers gave over $500 million to Uzbekistan, and of that, $120 million was in aid to the Uzbek military, and over $80 million was in aid to the Uzbek security services, the people who were boiling people to death. But why would America want to support such a dictator? And the answer to that, you have to go back to 1997. And in 1997, Ken Lay of Enron wrote a letter to George Bush and said...
Stay there. We got to stop right there. Ambassador, it's so good to have you on. We appreciate your courage. A very important window into this very dark world. Stay with us. We'll also talk about his new book. Craig Murray is our guest. Stay with us.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Has anyone told you how the Patriot Acts number 1 and 2 is the groundwork to eliminate all of our freedoms guaranteed to us by the Bill of Rights? Have you been told that they infringe upon the 1st, 2nd, 4th, 5th, and 14th Amendment? This is minimum infringement. There may be more. Is your guaranteed right to freedom of speech, assembly, religion, privacy, and to own a gun important to you? We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now. Our operators are standing by to take your order.
By now, it is no surprise that the U.S. ranks 37th in the world in occurrence of chronic illness, according to the World Health Organization. Due to modern farming and food processing practices, our food supply has become nutrition deficient, deficient in nutrients essential to good health. It is time to take back your health. Everyone has the right to good health. Join the self-reliant families, entrepreneurs, and the company pioneering cutting-edge glyconutrient technology. The wellness revolution is projected to be a $1 trillion industry by 2010. We are looking for people who are serious about bettering their lives and the lives of the people they love. Better health is possible. To learn more, go to therighttogoodhealth.com. You have the right to decide what is attainable in your lifetime. You have the right to build a healthy lifestyle that you can share with your friends and family. You have the right to achieve self-reliance and financial independence. And you have the right to good health. Visit therighttogoodhealth.com.
Pakistan, of course, has been controlled by the British for over 100 years. Now the U.S. has moved in with the dictator, Musharraf. They rule with an iron fist. You have Pakistani intelligence supposedly funding the 9/11 hijackers. Clearly involved in U.S. Operations. And it's the same thing. Every time there's some bust in England, it's funding out of you know, shadowy U.S./British networks in Uzbekistan or in Pakistan or in Egypt. Just like back in 1993 when the U.S. hired an Egyptian security force agent, Ahmad Salam, to cook the bomb, train the driver, to go create the group. Same thing in Miami a few months ago. The FBI went and created a group. They were black Christians, and finally paid off, you know, $50,000 to say they were with Al-Qaeda, and then that's the big national threat. Going back to the ambassador, so the main point you're getting at here, and if you can elaborate on it, is that they want the Uzbekistan dictatorship to torture, to basically continue to give them fake intelligence of Al-Qaeda networks existing when it doesn't exist in that area, much less the rest of the world?
Yeah, that's right. And the basic reason they wanted to do it was they wanted to get at the oil and gas. I was saying just before we broke, and it's an important point, so I'll sort of finish it off, I think, was that back in 97, Ken Lay of Enron arranged a meeting for George Bush while George Bush was governor of Texas with the Uzbek ambassador. I'll just read you two sentences from his letter, which you'll find in my book. It's from Ken Lay, writing on the 3rd of April 1997 to George Bush. It says, "You will be meeting with Ambassador Sadiq Safayev, Uzbekistan's ambassador to the United States, on April the 8th. Enron has established an office in Tashkent, and we are negotiating a $2 billion joint venture with Neftigaz of Uzbekistan to develop Uzbekistan's natural gas and transport it to markets in Europe and Turkey." And he finishes up saying, "I trust you and Ambassador Safayev will have a productive meeting which will result in a friendship between Texas and Uzbekistan." So what you've really got happening is, you know, oil and gas business with the gruesome dictatorship going on under the surface, while on top, the official reason is all to do with fighting Al-Qaeda, and they have to invent the Al-Qaeda threat in order to justify the actual economic purpose.
Which is USAID predominantly, is just a payoff to a dictator to drive around in Rolls Royces and fly around in helicopters.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that the American taxpayer was giving amounts of money which were worth pretty well as much as the oil and gas revenue. Of course, the people who get the oil and gas revenue are people who manage not to pay taxes. So it was a fairly disgusting thing. I mean, interestingly, what goes around comes around, and backing a dictator is seldom a good idea in the long term. And ultimately, Karimov got after Enron went bust, Karimov was playing the field, and in the end, he got a very large payoff of about $88 million paid to his daughter from Gazprom of Russia, and last year turned around and kicked the Americans out. So after, you know, these years of cooperation and giving him money, he turned around and changed his mind.
But at least he still runs rape rooms, the fantasy of the Attorney General, and, you know, they torture people and do stuff to little kids, and that's what's important to Bush, so he still gets his fake intelligence. What about the Times of London headline about how Bush is now openly talking about just putting a dictator in charge in Iraq?
Yeah, that's a fascinating thing, that they're talking of abandoning the democracy project because it doesn't work. Meaning, I think, that they don't, when people get the chance to vote, they don't elect people who are compliant to what the neocons in Washington would like.
Well, I mean, that's it. Our government helped put Saddam in. They took him out. Now they put the Baathists back in, and now they're just setting up the same thing. It's shameful for all these phony neocons on talk radio saying, "We did what we did in Iraq for freedom and democracy." That is just a load of baloney.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was saying while I was ambassador in Uzbekistan. I sent a formal diplomatic telegram back to London saying, you know, we're now going to war in Iraq, ostensibly to remove a dictator. At the same time, we're funding and backing a dictator here. Well, how can you, when we're accused of double standards, that's right. And it's true. I mean, if you try to explain American foreign policy, as followed by Tony Blair as well, you try to explain it in terms of democracy promotion, you get no sense at all. If you try to explain it in terms of seizing hydrocarbon resources, then it's consistent. They'll adopt in each country, from country to country, the policy which best enables them to get at those oil and gas contracts.
Well, stay there, Ambassador. We'll be back after a quick break, and I want to talk about these fake terror alerts.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now.
Check, please. You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
The Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 888-8-XANADU. And ask for George.
Former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, Craig Murray, joins us. I want to ask you just what Uzbekistan itself is like, kind of like the armpit of the world and what those poor people are like. I've seen a few documentaries about it and talked to others that have been there. Just the oppression, the way the soldiers and troops just strut around the police, the way the people just grovel. To see America beginning to turn towards that, it's just so sad, folks. So sad to see a once free country, land of the free, home of the brave. They meant that when they talked about us. Now, land of the coward, home of the scum. I mean, when we support a government that openly says in memos that they can torture children in front of their parents sexually, that's the White House memo by John Yoo. I mean, folks, we're talking about raping children now. And so when any of you sign on to the neocon agenda, you just signed on to that. And I want to talk about the courage of the ambassador here in a moment and how he had the courage, knowing he was dealing with people like this, to go public, because it is dangerous. But before we do that, coming up this weekend in Dallas, from 7 at night till 2 in the morning, I'm going to show my new film, Terror Storm, then I'll give a speech. Then Jim Mars will give a speech titled JFK to 9/11. Then I'll show you footage I shot at the Bilderberg Group in June in Canada. Then we're going to have live music from midnight to 2 a.m., two great bands. So please, please, please get your tickets at Infowars.com. The tickets are really going fast now. The event looks like it's going to sell out. by Friday or so. Looks like it's barely going to sell out. Don't wait, ladies and gentlemen. Get your tickets now. Go to Infowars.com to get your e-ticket or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. Again, that's 888-253-3139. And it's the same website, the same toll-free number to get my new film, Terror Storm. It is available on DVD. 66 minutes of extras from the 9/11 Neocon Agenda Symposium that we have with world-renowned experts out in California in late June. The almost two-hour film I produced, it is the best documentary I have ever made, covering the history of government-sponsored terrorism, covering false flag events, covering fake terror alerts from 7/7 right through to 9/11. You need to have Terror Storm, again, available at Infowars.com. Or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139. Or just write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. You need to get the film. You need to make copies of it. You need to get it out to everybody so we can stop the true perpetrators of terrorism. Going back to Ambassador Craig Murray. Craig, and again, I'm so thankful for all the time you spent with us today. Craig, you know, boiling all this down, you have written some articles now. You've been quoted by some major newspapers in the last 2 weeks talking about how the government is staging these fake terror alerts. They've obviously been caught now dozens of times doing it, but you are a high-level person to be calling them out on the carpet. Can you talk about what's really going on with these terror alerts? And then I've got a few other questions for you.
Yeah, well, it's really very worrying the extent that the government uses terror alerts and seem to time them wonderfully for moments when politically they're in trouble. This latest one in London, the people involved has allegedly been under surveillance for months and months and months. And there does seem good reason to suspect that they could have outed this at any stage. There is nothing that points to any operation being imminent. The guys hadn't, none of the suspects had even bought a plane ticket yet. And they were all under surveillance. So assuming, let's assume that these are people who were thinking of trying to conduct some sort of terror campaign, and there are all kinds of other issues there, for example, agent provocateur issues, because they had been penetrated, as the intelligence service said. But let's assume that these were guys who were thinking of doing something. It does seem that they've been under surveillance for a long, long while, and that the government, and we know that Tony Blair is a good actor, that Tony Blair and George Bush discussed the arrests on the Sunday and on the Wednesday before they happened. Now then, you know, arrests should be an operational matter for the security services, should have nothing to do at all with politicians. And so they time it for Lieberman had just lost his election. We were seeing dead children in Lebanon on television every day. The public were getting sick and tired of the war on terror. Things were going badly in Iraq, in the UK. A junior government minister had just resigned the day before the arrests in protest at using UK airports to ship bombs and missiles to Israel. 120 members of parliament had just called for parliament to be recalled for its summer break to protest at our policy on supporting George Bush over not calling for a ceasefire in Lebanon. So, you know, these were dodgy times politically. And immediately with this terror alert, ever since, I don't know about over there, but here, because they came out and said this was a new 9/11, this was bigger than 9/11, that this was mass murder on an unimaginable scale.
Bigger than the Blitz. Bigger than the Blitz. It's worse than Hitler. We've never faced so much evil.
Yeah, exactly. This ridiculous amount of complete hype. I mean, let's be perfectly plain that we all have a 500 times better chance of being killed by a car than in any kind of bomb incident. But the total lack of perspective.
But
on
let's give up our.
It has to make you suspicious as to whether this is genuinely a law enforcement operation.
Well, exactly, and they're saying, let's give up our whole way of lives, scrap the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, worship police in black mask, just totally give in to everything, have cameras in our bathrooms, or Al-Qaeda is going to get us. And then we look at Miami, stage terror event. We look at Toronto, stage terror event. We look at 7-7. We've got the head of the bombers being known MI6 protected asset. It even comes out on television here in the U.S. And then we have these guys without bombs, without materials, with no know-how, and their handlers, we now, the evidence has come out in mainstream news, are Pakistan/CIA. So what you've got clearly is another provocateur op, but they could never get them to actually carry it out. Now it's begun to come out in the media that MI6 wanted to, quote, wait till they'd actually bomb something, and that they were being spurred to do it, but nothing ever, thank God, happened. I mean, this is too ridiculously obvious.
I think to be fair to MI6, I don't think they want that the insinuation was they wanted to wait till they'd bomb something. I think the insinuation was they wanted to wait until they'd at least made a bomb and bought a plane ticket, at which stage they might have moved in.
But the news reported Ambassador, the news reported the raid they wanted to have was going to be 3 days after the supposed launch date.
Yeah. Well, we'll never know the truth of it, because of course the thing never went that far. But the implication that the actual timing of when they decide, you know, that they timed it for a period when they really needed to shift the news agenda, looks to me pretty solid, particularly with Bush and Blair discussing it before it happened. And we, 11 people have now finally been charged with conspiracy to murder. But we've been through this in the UK before. We had people charged with a plot. You probably didn't hear about it much in the States, but we had the allegation that some Muslims were making the toxin ricin in a flat in North London.
And it turned out that was all made up. There was no ricin. And then they also planted in Afghanistan ricin plans.
Yeah. And in the end, everyone was found not guilty. But, of course, at the time the plot was announced, for at least a week, it was front page news every day how these people were going to kill us all with ricin. When they were actually acquitted at court 9 months later, that made it onto page 28, you know, and in fact the majority of people in the UK still actually think there was a ricin plot, because they saw all the propaganda, all the headlines.
No, exactly, a year from now.
And hardly actually covered the fact that they were all found not guilty.
Well, exactly.
That's the danger with this stuff, that there's very often more hype and propaganda to it. Now, I don't know what these people were planning to do. And that will, as we the truth of it will come out one day in the court process. But what I'm deeply, deeply suspicious of is the political use to which it's being put and the political timing of it.
Well, Ambassador, the point I was going to make is that it fits exactly the way it was announced, how they had agents in there, how they knew what was going on, how they just basically created the group out of picking some people off some chat rooms that were shooting their mouths off. It fits the pattern of every other instance we've seen, except for some of the even worse cases where the government will bust one of their agents in Pakistan or Afghanistan or London, or there's been a bunch of cases, or in New York City, and then a month later in the back of the paper it goes, oh, they were really a CIA asset or agent, and the bust and the terror alert was a cover to bring him back in. I mean, we've had a few cases of that where it's totally fake, and they have to admit it's fake.
Yeah, well, we'll, as I say, we will see what comes, but you're quite right that a lot of that apparently this group were penetrated by both British and Pakistani intelligence agents, and there's several similar examples recently to make you wonder whether there's actual provocateur stuff on. Yeah. Also, a lot of the intelligence, which apparently on the group, which came out of Pakistan, there are two questions here. Firstly, was it obtained under torture? And from my experience, my 21 years of diplomatic experience, my experience of dealing with exactly these issues, almost certainly that came from torture, and people will say any old rubbish under torture, but it probably won't stand up under court scrutiny. But the second thing is that the guy who gave that evidence in Pakistan had fled the UK a few years earlier after being wanted for questioning by police in connection with the murder of his uncle. Now, that might be felt to cast some doubt on his reliability, and that that murder, which he may or may not have had anything to do with, but he left the country and is wanted for questioning in this country about it, that murder had nothing to do with Al-Qaeda, nothing to do with politics, nothing to do with terrorism, as far as anyone knows. There's no insinuation anywhere.
Well, that's the point, is that they're framing, we know the White House and 10 Downing Street. We have the White House and the Downing Street memos where they're talking about framing intelligence. They're talking about false intelligence. They're talking about lying to people. We know they're doing this over and over again. Now I want to shift gears back to courage. What made you decide to go public? Why did you go public? What repercussions have you seen for going public, exposing the Uzbekistan torture, the Uzbek torture? And then just tell us about what Uzbekistan is like.
Yeah. I'll do the first bit, the second bit first. Uzbekistan, it's a lovely country with lovely people and a lot of great historical cities in it, like Samarkand and Tashkent and Hiva. But the people live under the most terrible, crushed system of fear. Most of them are working as slave laborers, in effect, on cotton plantations. They have an internal visa system. So if you're born on a cotton plantation, you can't leave it without a visa, and you'll never get the visa if you're a cotton worker, because they want to keep the cotton workers on the farms. And also, you have to bribe the police a lot to get a visa.
Let me stop you. We're moving towards an internal visa system. Congressman Ron Paul has said with the new national ID card they passed in 2005 goes into effect in the next 2 years at the state level. And you'll have to have it to have a job, you'll have to have it to live, you'll have to have it to travel. And they're saying even bad credit is going to keep us from flying. So we're already with no fly list seeing the beginning of an internal visa.
Yeah, it's a bullet.
Just like your books can't get out of the airport now, but sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, the cotton workers get paid $2 a month. $2 a month. For that, they work 70 hours a week, so 6 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. $2 a month they get. That's 60% of the population, and these are state farms. They're compelled to work there. Children as young as 8 in harvest time are sent out to pick cotton in the field. It's an appalling country. It seemed to me when I was there that any decent person, nothing to do with being a hero or brave or anything, I couldn't see how anyone who comes from the British or American tradition of respect for rights and that kind of thing wouldn't be against it. It seemed to me that when I found out this terrible torture was happening, my single duty was to try and stop it. That's what I had to do. So that's what and then when I found that my own government and the American government were actually supporting the torture and in favor of it and getting the intelligence from it, I was massively disillusioned.
Ambassador, how do you think our government's gotten to the point? I'm sure you've read the Gonzales memos and the U memos. How do you get to a point as a White House counsel, assistant counsel like John Yoo, writing memos saying we can torture little children? I mean, how the hell have we, I'm sorry to use that term, but how have we sunk this low? I feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone dream.
Yeah, well, I think, one important thing to remember is that Germany had a great culture, and a wonderful humanist culture, a great legal system, and a tremendous lengthy tradition of scholarship. And yet Hitler managed to pervert that totally. There's no society that's safe from this kind of perversion. My moment of epiphany came, if you like, when I was having this meeting in the Foreign Office where I was protesting, saying this is illegal, we can't be accepting this stuff and this terrible torture. And the Foreign Office's head lawyer, a guy called Sir Michael Wood, was setting out his legal arguments as to why it wasn't illegal to get intelligence from torture. And I knew the guy. He was a nice guy. I'd known him for years. Really nice, ordinary guy. And there's he setting out a legal justification for getting stuff from torture. And at that moment, I thought I realized how an ordinary civil servant in Germany, someone who was nice to his kids and his neighbors thought was a nice guy, could have been sitting writing out a requisition for cattle trucks to go to Auschwitz or whatever. What you do is you create enough fear that the people inside the machine really believe they are fighting a terrible enemy. And then they'll go along with all kinds of stuff. How on earth we managed to get ourselves brought so quickly to that situation, I don't know. But I've seen it on the inside, and it's a bloody ugly sight, if you'll forgive my language.
Well, now you've gotten to the point where you were telling me earlier that people are seizing your books, trying to, you know, fly out at the airport. Well, that kind of stuff happens here now, sir, where they're arresting people now, homeless people, they're arresting and charging them with terrorism. They're going to toy stores that sell off, you know, that sell knockoff toys, and saying all infrastructure is terror, you know, anything that threatens that. I mean, I follow the police state. The point I'm making is, in England and the U.S., they're building this incredible grid of surveillance and control, and then now slowly turning the heat up.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. You're right. But I was really shocked today to learn, from one posting on an internet site and from someone else who contacted me directly, that people are having my books taken off them if they try and take them through the airports in the U.K. And it's not that they're taking all books. They're not taking all books. And in fact, in both cases, the people had other books which weren't confiscated, but my book was confiscated by airport security.
Well, it's on stay there. Well, it's on a list, folks. We'll be right back.
It's here. After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
As snow falls on the majestic Rocky Mountains, it eventually melts. The water east of the Continental Divide travels downhill over 1,600 miles before reaching the Atlantic Ocean. On the western side, water travels downhill almost 1,000 miles to reach the Pacific Ocean. As you ponder this miracle, ask yourself this question.
How many people and animals has that water passed through before it reaches my area?
Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. At the heart of these portable systems are the Black Berkey purification elements. So powerful, these elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and yuck. They can purify that downward-flowing water. Berkey purification systems get rid of the unhealthy stuff in your water while leaving you healthy, beneficial materials that your body needs. For more information on the powerful Berkey purifiers, call New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call today. That's 888-803-4438. Or visit us on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
This is how tyranny starts. Oh, we've got to take your shampoo, your lipstick because of the terrorists, because they want to mix them. Then they mix them in a big bucket right in front of you. It's about making you comply. It's about training you to do stupid things. And then now, oh, there's certain books that are on a list. People are getting arrested all the time for having books that have the name terror in them, even though a lot of times it's pro-war, neocon propaganda. Arab men could hardly even fly, or even Indians for that matter, who aren't even Muslims. People just demand they be taken off the plane. Again, giving into this fear that the government and the corporate interest are going to use that until we're at the point living on state-owned cotton plantations. And I mean, it's scary, folks. I just can't believe we're turning into this. Former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, one of the most corrupt countries in the world with incredible levels of torture, public boiling. Craig Murray, in closing, tell us about your new book that exposes all this torture and stuff, and then please continue with where you left off.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, no, my book, which it's not published in the States yet, but you can get it from Amazon.co.uk. That's Amazon.co.uk. It's called Murder in Samarkand. If you just do a search on my name, Craig Murray, on Amazon, you'll be able to find it, or you can get it through my website, which is craigmurray.co.uk. But it sets out all the evidence that the CIA uses intelligence obtained through torture. It sets out the story of the weapons of mass destruction charade. But perhaps most importantly, it's a kind of it's a very personal story, and it's the kind of psychological story of how Bush and Blair managed to pervert their civil service, their public servants, the people in the diplomats and their soldiers into doing this kind of thing.
How have they now perverted even the airport screeners to steal your book? I mean, don't they know that's so anti-freedom? Don't they know how evil that is?
It's quite astonishing. And isn't it scary that our culture is so shallow that those airport screening people aren't turning around and saying to their bosses, I'm not going to take books. Why, you know, why am I censoring books? it really is quite a... I mean, it just shows how easy it is. The trouble is, I mean, I thought initially if I brought this torture to the attention of my own bosses and of Tony Blair and Jack Straw, then they would stop it happening. I thought it must be they don't know. Maybe I was naive.
Yeah, you found out how real this was because they said, of course we're doing it. Shut up!
Yeah, and then they sacked me. Not only they sacked me, and this is the subject of the book as well, they decided they had to discredit me, so they brought allegations of me against me of issuing visas in exchange for sex, of stealing money, of being an alcoholic, all kinds of stuff. In the end, I was acquitted of all charges after a 2-year fight, but it was no fun at all. And that's what they do to anyone who goes against the system, basically.
Well, it's people like you that may save the UK and may save the US. If we go down into total tyranny, it will be an engine of evil. We will be used as a dark sword forged in hell to conquer the planet for these sicko corporations. And people like you, Ambassador, are so important, and we appreciate your courage. And, you know, I'm together, I'm praying for you every day, and thank you for exposing the torture and the murder and the evil and the rest of it. And in closing, God bless you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Well, I've enjoyed having you on, sir. We need more people like you. Take care.
Thank you.
If it wasn't for people like him, we'd be in much worse shape. No matter how bad things are right now, believe me, it'd be a lot worse. We're headed into bad, bad times, folks. The White House writes memos saying they can rape children.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.